Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Micro-X Limited quarterly investor call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Peter Rowland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Daphne. Welcome, everyone. This is Peter Rowland, and I'm pleased to welcome you all today to Micro-X's quarterly investor call. The format for the call will, as usual, include an overview of our operations and financial matters for the quarter ending June 2021, which we outlined in our Appendix 4C filed with the ASX yesterday. We'll then open up to questions and answers, and for those that are not able to attend, a recording of this call will be on our website shortly. We hope that this format continues to provide you with additional information about the company and also the opportunity to better engage with us and hear about our progress. Now, before we begin, I'd like to welcome our Chief Financial Officer, Kingsley Hall, who is here with me on the call today.
Thanks, Peter. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be speaking with you again today. Before we start, I would just like to cover off on one brief formality. I'd like to remind everyone on the call that today's call may contain forward-looking statements, which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgements, which we recommend you all review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements made today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. I'll now hand back to Peter to run through the highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, Kingsley. As I review the last quarter, the key theme linking our important activities and achievements was investment and advancement of our commercial positioning. We've been able to expand our commercial capability with a number of key sales hires and distributor appointments in global markets, as well as establishing our Seattle office base from which we can attack the lucrative US healthcare and security markets. We also extended our mobile digital radiology, or mobile DR, product range with two new wholly Micro-X branded Rover units, which expand our addressable markets in healthcare and veterinary applications. Sourcing independent detectors and software in these new Rover units moves us up the value chain and also expands our future profit margins as we grow the value proposition from our first-in-class gold cathode X-ray platform. When we raised funds from shareholders earlier this year, we set ourselves three key commercial objectives, and this quarter we've made strong progress on all of these strategies, which we intend will build a stronger and better Micro-X in the future. I'll now run through the details of our progress across our four product lines in order of commercial readiness before moving to the corporate matters and the highlights of the quarter. Starting with the mobile DR range, we were very pleased to receive another FDA approval in May. This one, in record time, being for the Micro-X branded Rover with our independent detector and software. This approval allows us to start selling the Micro-X Rover in the US healthcare market, where around $170 million is spent on top-tier mobile radiology equipment each year. As shareholders know, we already hold FDA approval for the military ruggedized version of the Micro-X Rover. That version, which uses a Fujifilm detector, is targeted to be sold into military markets globally, and our first sale of this was secured last year for the Australian Defence Force. What I really want to emphasise is that this new independent Micro-X Rover will be wholly branded as a Micro-X manufactured product within this new digital flat panel detector from Varex Imaging. We can sell this Rover unit to healthcare customers anywhere where we have regulatory approval in place, and make higher margins on each unit sold in the process. In addition to the mobile DR range, was also commissioned this quarter when we launched our Micro-X Rover into the veterinary market. This is another fully Micro-X branded product which uses a Rover cart and a Varex detector. We've tailored this unit with an updated user interface and imaging software, purpose designed for the small animal veterinary market. Exposure factors and the typical exam projections for cats and dogs are not the same as in human radiology, and the changes will help speed image acquisition and radiology workflows in busy veterinary hospitals. We've secured our first sale in Australia, which is our launch market, and signed up a highly regarded national veterinary distributor, Medical Plus, to drive sales into the 3,000 veterinary practices across Australia. Once we've gathered user data and customer experiences locally, we'll refine marketing strategies and seek to roll out into the international veterinary markets in time. As I mentioned at the outset of today's call, we've made good progress in our efforts to broaden our sales channels and reach across the healthcare, military, and veterinary markets this quarter. Let me start by mentioning two key hires we've made of highly capable and seasoned sales executives with a great track record in medical device capital equipment sales. In North America, we're very pleased to welcome on board Tanis Sigurdsson, who will lead our U.S. sales team and activities. Tanis brings to us extensive experience from a number of commercial roles where she's managed both direct and distributor sales teams, selling a range of disruptive medical products, including cone beam CT X-ray units. To drive our European and UK sales build-up, Lois Newman has also joined us from Smiths Medical, where she built a 20-year career managing regional and global sales channels of medical equipment. For a long time, we've been keen to build our sales and marketing management skills internationally, and these two additions are a big step in that direction. To complement our internal sales capabilities this quarter, we also signed up a number of non-exclusive distribution and dealership agreements with the US and Europe for Rover. This included a 3-year non-exclusive distribution agreement with Rosis in Germany to distribute and sell into hospitals all across the European, Middle East, and African regions, which was announced at a successful product launch at the Arab Health Conference in Dubai, which was attended by some 50,000 delegates. In the military market, we appointed a distributor specializing in sales to the U.S. Department of Defense-owned Veterans Affairs Hospital Network. While restrictions related to COVID have hampered our access to U.S. bases to showcase the Rover for deployed military applications, we see signs that this position will change in the near term. In addition, we've been working in Washington, D.C. to gain congressional support in the coming year's defense funding bill for the U.S. military to adopt high-technology radiology, such as our next-generation Rover unit. As announced in our Appendix 4C, our sales of mobile DR for the quarter were $400,000, which brings the total sales for the 2021 financial year to $3.6 million. With the preparations we've been putting in place during this year, starting with creating the non-exclusive distribution environment, then creating an expanded product range with the independence of a wholly MicroX controlled imaging chain, and now with new sales talent and a growing team of distributors on board, we're setting our sights very much higher this coming financial year. I would also like to mention that, as we announced last week, our development team have successfully tested our new X-ray tube with the new high-voltage generator at full output performance. These two in-house design components working together can deliver 4 times the X-ray output for the Rover, while not only maintaining the original weight and size, but also costing less than half of the current imported generator unit. Once again, our technical team has done a fantastic job in providing us with a world-leading design for this, our first venture into high-voltage electronics. This enormously strengthens the competitive positioning for our Rover product, with this increased performance now making Rover at home in emergency departments and operating theatres, where more demanding trauma exams are often needed. Turning to our second product, the X-ray camera for IED imaging, the engineering design work continued during the quarter and is on track for prototypes to be ready for customer demonstrations by the end of the year. We're delighted to showcase the new design for the X-ray camera at the Army Robotics Conference in Brisbane, which was the first public showing of the technology after last year's updated design and the recent full insourcing of the development program. Also in the security market, our next generation self-service airport passenger security checkpoint program achieved good progress with our UEBS subsidiary, MicroX Inc., in pre-contract administrative preparations for the 2 contracts with the U.S. government's Department of Homeland Security. Our recruitment of technical and management staff is moving ahead, with the team building in Seattle and we're confident of the two DHS contracts will be executed during this coming quarter. Finally, for the Brain CT program, we have advanced negotiations with the Australian Stroke Alliance this quarter for an $8 million contract for technical development work of the CT scanner in the Stroke Golden Hour project. We expect to be announcing in the very near future that this contract has been executed, after which we can submit claims for progress payments against the milestones delivered. I'll now hand over to Kingsley to run through the corporate and financial activities for the quarter.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Before I get to the financial results for the quarter, there's a couple of things I'd like to highlight. I'm pleased to confirm that MicroX ended the quarter fully debt-free, having repaid the $3 million facility to SAFA, and that saves us roughly $230,000 in interest each year. We also secured nearly $1 million in grant funding across two Australian government programs in the last couple of weeks. This is split between $400,000 from the second round of the Manufacturing Modernisation Fund and $500,000 from the Advanced Manufacturing Growth Centre Commercialisation Fund to assist in developing an ultralight mobile X-ray trolley for the vet market. So a couple of really positive highlights there. Now, turning to the results that were reported in the quarterly activities and cash flow lodged with the ASX with our Appendix 4C yesterday. The numbers I'll be referring to are all in Australian dollars, and if in accordance with ASX listing rules, these are not audited. So for the quarter ending 30 June 2021, in a revenue perspective, we recorded $440,000 in revenue for mobile DR units. We received $800,000 in cash receipts from our customers and a further $300,000 in net GST receipts and grant income. We had cash outflows from operations of $6 million, which led to net operating cash outflows of $4.9 million for the quarter. And I'll touch on that increased expenditure in a moment. Cash outflows relating to investing activities were a little under $300,000, primarily related to the purchase of capital equipment to assist with our product development, our manufacturing capacity, and the establishment of our Seattle office. We had cash outflows of $3.1 million from financing activities, which resulted primarily from the repayment of the $3 million SAFA facility that I mentioned earlier, together with some residual costs associated with last quarter's capital raise. In summary, the company had net cash outflows of $8.4 million, three of which was the reduction of debt, and a cash balance at the 30th of June of $30.1 million. Coming back to the expenditure levels for the quarter, the increase is driven primarily through the increased commercial activities and broader footprint that Peter alluded to at the outset. You know, we've increased our sales and marketing headcount and our activities across the US, EMEA and Australia. In addition to that, in order to fulfil anticipated sales expectations moving into the 22 financial year, we also increased our inventory of some of our long lead time products and their components to ensure that we can meet the demand that we anticipate this year. And this quarter also saw some one-off costs associated with the establishment and staffing of the Seattle office, you know, for the future airport security and Brain 2.0 programs. We've begun recruitment of staff and purchasing of equipment that we expect to be partially recouped once those contracts have been signed. I'll now hand it back to you, Peter.
Thanks, Kingsley. Looking ahead, the early signs that we've seen from the recently appointed distributors and dealerships across the US and EMEA are extremely encouraging and give us comfort in the direction and progress of our mobile DR commercialization strategy now that we're running this ourselves. While COVID-19 infection rates fluctuate across the developed world and the developing world, we still expect the demand for mobile DR units to remain, but it's still difficult to predict the timing of sales. For instance, we've already taken nearly $500,000 of orders already this month. We'll look to capitalize on the Rover for veterinary launch in the domestic market to secure more sales this year, while refining our market entry strategy for the US and other global markets 2022. The development of our IED X-ray camera remains on track to enable our first customer demonstrations around the turn of the year, ahead of a full product launch during the first half of 2022. We're very confident of the engineering development pathway ahead of us in airport checkpoint security and the Brain CT this year as we assemble the teams to start this work in both Adelaide and Seattle. We expect that both programs will be under contract in the coming quarter, securing a combined $13 million of development funding. Once signed, our work will scale up markedly over the coming 6 months to achieve the ongoing program milestones. All of this will bring us closer to our goal of having four high-margin product lines in production within 5 years. So in summary, we have significant development and commercial initiatives in progress, which are now supported by a healthy balance sheet, which will set us up for success in our planned endeavors. I'll now pass you back to the operator, who will commence the Q&A portion of this call.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Scott Power at Morgans Financial. Please go ahead.
Morning, Peter and Kingsley. Thanks very much for the presentation. Just a couple of quick questions from me. Kingsley, you just mentioned some of those costs that came through in the fourth quarter. I'm just wondering if you could quantify the amount of inventory build-up and perhaps try and highlight just some of the one-off costs that were in that quarter. Peter, my second question, just around your thoughts with the CE mark for the rover, just an update on that. And perhaps finally, just in terms of the grants coming through for both the stroke detection and on the airport side of things, if you could perhaps just sort of map out the timeline of how you would see those monies coming in. Is it sort of back-ended towards the grant, or is it going to be reasonably evenly spread over the grant period time? Thank you.
Okay.
Kingsley, we'll take those in the order that you asked them. So if you want to kick off,
yeah.
Kingsley.
Yeah, sure. So Scott, the build-up of the inventory is tremendously material. We really just looked at some of the longer lead time stuff that's pretty difficult to get hold of. In terms of quantum, probably about a little over 400,000 of the operating and manufacturing costs for the quarter were genuine build-up of inventory, which we will need in order to meet our anticipated demand across the back half of this calendar year and into 2022. In terms of the one-off costs from the operating costs, look, it's probably about 600,000, I would say, is non-recurring out of the five-odd million. Those costs are broadly spread across, you know, some setup costs for the Seattle office and its opening, some regulatory costs as we continue to progress down the CE mark and TGA approval. Some recruitment costs associated with recruiting a number of the salespeople and engineers, and a couple of annual expenses that fell due in the quarter. It's probably about 550 to 600,000. We also spent a little under 200,000 in marketing. About a third of that was what you'd refer to as non-recurring in terms of brand development and website development. I hope that answers the question, Scott.
Yep, that's great. Thanks, Kingsley.
Sure.
So next question. CE mark, look, it's very, very hard to predict these things. We think we're getting very close. We've had the audit and obviously doing a long distance audit has been difficult, but we've done the audit past that. Tidying up some documentation, I think, to get the medical device regulation accreditation. The technical file on the rover, they've already started evaluating. So, look, we hope we're very close, but you can never predict. There's so many companies. I mean, every medical device company in the world is doing MDR. registration at the moment, so the notified bodies are really, really busy. But yeah, very close, we hope. In terms of the grant funding, the US one is milestone based, so we've tried to map the milestones very closely to the cash flow, just so that to even out the cash flow. So no, it's not back ended at all. And indeed, with the MRFF money we're getting from the Australian Stroke Alliance, there's a major payment on signature. So we'll actually have funding in advance of the work performed there. So both of those we've designed to not stress our cash flow.
Right. Okay. That's great answers. Thanks very much, Peter and Kingsley. That's all from me.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will now pause a moment to allow for question registration. There are no further questions at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Daphne. Well, as you've heard today, both in this quarter and the previous, we're putting all the foundations in place to deliver the sales and commercial success of what's now our emerging suite of mobile DR products. We're confident that this integrated strategy of the right people, the right products, and the right paths to market will achieve the strong growth we expect this next financial year. Thank you again for your patience and support for the company and for joining us on this investor call. I look forward to speaking with you again to report on our further progress.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.